Chris Logan, good to be talking with you. Chris is the founder of Oppertune. He's one of the top five money managers in South Africa, been around a long time, got a very big reputation, and he is an activist investor. So when an activist investor called Chris Logan arrives at your annual general meeting, you need to pay attention. Just ask the people at Tongaat. They will give you some insight on that too. And a number of others. I think Liberty Holdings were them. Anyway, we won't go through your whole CV here. But why did you go to the Remgro AGM today, Chris?
Well, two major reasons. First of all, it was at a magnificent Stellenbosch wine estate, which was always great to discover. And secondly, in the past, Mr. Rupert, the chair, Johan, has put forward some strong views on ownership and the link between ownership and performance. And he's basically said, you know, if you want your companies to perform, make sure the directors have a lot of shares. And I think that is spot on. And if I may just digress somewhat, there's a lot of international research backing this up, that once your CEO has a lot of economic interest in the company performs better. There's a crowd called ISS Analytics, Institutional Shareholder Services. They're huge, who've done the study, and they found where the CEO has upwards of $50 million in physical shares, the company earns higher EVA margins and it has higher EVA momentum. So that's interesting, backing up Rupert's view. And then, of course, locally, if we look, I'm not aware of any empirical studies, but if we just look at some of the great performers here, let's say a Capitec, as they disclose in their annual report, the CEO there owns 103 times in shares his basic salary, his total guaranteed pay. So as a multiple of his total guaranteed pay, his shareholding value is 103 times that. So he acts and thinks like an owner. And, you know, there was another great research analyst at the meeting, one of Shane Watkins's analysts, and he also backed that up. He says, look, locally, it's nearly always, if you've got high share ownership, or you see high share ownership in great performers. So Remgro just recently have bought in what you call a minimum shareholding requirement. It's something which is widely used in the States and even the UK. And it expresses what the CEO has to have as a function of his total guaranteed pay. And the CEO of Remgro has to have a multiple of 3.75 times, which is quite high for South African standards. It is high, but judged against American standards, it's very low. For instance, Jamie Dimon at JP Morgan Chase has to hold 50 times his basic salary in shares.
Just stop there for a minute so you can unpack this. In other words, let's just say that he earned R1 million a year, Jannie Durack, the CEO of Remgro. That means that he would have to hold at least R3.5 million in Remgro shares. Is that what how the calculations go?
Correct. They generally have a 5-year period to get there. So it's something set, and you know, it's over a period. So because obviously some guys come in and you know they're fresh off the block and they need time to build up the shareholding, either via stock options granted by the company or buying in the market. That's correct.
So the important thing there is that if they issued stock options at many companies, what the executives do is they sell just as soon as those options become available. Here, they're saying, you've got to hold on to enough shares to be 3.5 times your annual salary. Otherwise, what? Do they get fired?
Well, they're sanctioned. You know, I mean, I don't know. I've never seen I don't know of any cases of them not complying, but I'd imagine there would be sanctions of not complying. But correct. So they have to build up to that level. JP Morgan's even stronger. Not only do they have to get to 50 times, but once they pass 50 times, they've got to retain at least 50% of their stock awards.
Okay.
So Jamie Dimon is at something like 80 times.
I understand where you're going with this. So internationally, it says if you want your executives to think like owners, they better be owners. They've got to own the shares. And we'll force them to do that. Whereas Johan Rupert, as you know, just introduced this recently in Remgro. And the question here is Remgro has been a really bad performer, Chris. After being the gold medal of all investments in South Africa, in the last 15 years, it's poorly performed against any kind of index that you look, even worse than the overall market.
Yes, correct. And, you know, the Remgro shows their own figures to that effect against a number of benchmarks. Johan did speak to it somewhat. He said Remgro has now got some big capital-intensive regulated industries, notably Mediclinic and then their whole fiber business. So Mediclinic is now by far the biggest investment, and their fiber investments through CRVH are big and are having, you know, they've been tied up at the Competition Commission for 3 years for some important approval, and eventually they've just got rebuffed. But what you've basically had at Remgro, your biggest holdings used to be the old RMB group, you know, GT, all of GT and Laurie and Paul's creation. So FirstRand, you know, Outsurance, RMB Holdings. And inadvertently, Remgro has pivoted out of these owner-managed high-return businesses, like all of those companies were, into these capital-intensive regulated investments, Mediclinic and CRVH. So, yeah, you've had a... that's the explanation I would put on the poor performance. And, yeah.
When you look at it over 15 years, it's quite scary that a philosophical difference, in other words, invest in owner-managed businesses rather than professional manager-managed businesses, can make such a big difference. What else did Johan Rupert have to say at the AGM, Chris?
Well, you know, we talked quite extensively on this whole ownership concept. And, you know, he said it was very good questions, which I was raising. But he also drew attention to the fact that in South Africa, you know, South Africa isn't the United States, and which I think is a good point. But, you know, in other words, you know, in South Africa, now you have to show the gap between what the CEO earns and the lowest paid or the ratio. And all of that's true. But of course, there is a wonderful gem in Remgro called Westbeco. It's an aluminium extrusion. It's a tough industry. And it's done incredibly well. And they attribute their success there to the fact that the whole staff is cut into a profit share agreement. They get something like 20% of pre-tax profits. And it's paid out every 2 weeks. And Westbeco, it's in the same industry basically as Hulamin. You probably know Hulamin. It's been a disaster of note. Ex-Tongod. And, you know, despite the IDC backing Hulamin and owning 30%, it's just gone south. Westbeco's eaten their lunch and has done incredibly well. And Westbeco themselves attributed to this incentive structure, which everyone shares in. So, you know, once again, the importance of incentives, alignment, and not just for the CEO, but for everyone down to the shop floor. So, yeah, we talked about that. Interesting enough, you know, Rupert also made the point, you know, that only came about because Wispreco was flat on its back. So they could get this 20% carry for nothing for this workers' profit share. So, yeah.
And Remgro right now seems to be pretty flat on its back as well, if you look at its performance. And big changes coming there. Are you confident, Chris, that this is going to make a difference, that Remgro will go back to its past glory?
Look, I think it's very hard to go back to your past glory unless, you know, you can, say, catch another, you know, play like RMB was, you know, with a young Laurie and Paul and GT. You know, you're not locked into your existing portfolio. And, you know, as Mr. Rupert made the point, a lot of those are highly capital intensive regulated industries. That said, from where it is now, you know, the discount at the last financial year end was something like 46%, the discount to NAV, and the returns in something like MediClinic, you know, below 4% return on invested capital, you can improve. So, you know, it's not a boxer, but it can be, there's scope for substantial improvement. They've also brought in a new executive director there called Caro Vosloo, who's a very competitive guy, I want to add. He's a great cyclist. He looks more like a movie star than a Remgro executive. And, you know, Johan also singled out, you know, the addition there. So, yeah, you can make a case for some quite marked improvements of this base, which you referred to of 15 years of poor performance.
So at a 45% discount to the net asset value, that means that if you buy Remgro shares today, for every 1 rand in assets that you're acquiring, you're only paying 55 cents. It seems like a very juicy prospect. But on the other hand, are those assets underperforming so badly that they're only worth 55 cents?
Well, look, you've still got some gems in the portfolio. Artsurance, great business, okay? Discovery is on a roll. You know, Adrian Gore recently came up with held a capital markets day. Things are looking good there. So there's still some gems. The problem is the overall weighting is towards the, you know, MediClinic's the largest problematic. I do note that MediClinic came out with a trading update a couple of days ago. It was looking a bit better. So if they start applying some of these disciplines, you know, high return focus, high ownership, being a bit ruthless on underperformers, it may not be a bad bet. It's been dead money, as you point out, but I think you could see glimmers of light, but I don't think it's going to go back to the Remgro of, you know, old, because we don't have a young GT founder team there.
But it can improve from a 45% discount to, say, 25% discount, and then you make a huge return on your investment if you do that, if you get in now.
Without doubt, and realize that, you know, that you want the underlyings to go up. So you want the underlying NAV to go up. And, you know, the key thing over the medium term is not the discount. It's the growth in the underlying NAV, you know. But when the underlying NAV tends to improve, you know, your discount tends to narrow. So you could get a double whammy on the upside. It's very optimistic.
Did Jan Rupperts have anything to say about the Competition Commission and the Vodacom investment into Massive? We have seen in the last 24 hours that the Minister of Trade and Industry, Parks Tau, has come out against his own Competition Commission to say, no, guys, you made the wrong ruling here by blocking that proposed deal, because it could unlock massive fiber into low-income areas and give South Africa a kick. Did he have anything to say about that?
Yes, he talked about that. And he also said, you know, you've got to understand Remgro is just not purely shareholder value, 100% shareholder value orientated. They see a broader role in society, and this fiber rollout was one, you know, an area. And they've appealed that judgment. They're still waiting for reasons, interestingly enough, for why it was rejected. So they had to put an appeal without the reasons. And so the fact that the minister had come in, you know, was certainly a glimmer of light. And
The other issue that I would have thought would be worth a comment, or at least a question to Johan Rupert, is that his company, Venfin, which is has now been, I think, absorbed into either Reinet or Remgro, bailed out Dimension Data when it was flat on its back, if you recall, many years ago. And it appears as though the Dimension Data, the same actors at Dimension Data, have now got themselves into a lot of hot water and will potentially be facing fraud charges if the court judgment against them is accurate. Did he make any mention of that, of what's going on at Didata?
No. I think we tend to be somewhat circumspect in what we raise with Mr. Rupert in a public audience.
Why?
Look, you know, I mean, when all said and done, he commands a tremendous amount of respect, you know, and the fact, you know, it's pretty admirable that you've got a wonderful company called Richemont and you still bother yourself with something called Rembrandt or Rengro, you know, where you have to face questions about, you know, chicken and, you know, a whole heap of things that I'm sure the LVMH guys don't have to worry about.
How many people were there, Chris?
There were probably about 200.
That's a good turnout for an AGM, but it's sad if you think that there must be many thousands of shareholders in that company. And they didn't have it online. It wasn't available unless you actually went into the...
No, you could dial in, and there were some questions from, you know, some couple of participants who dialed in. So it was, you had every opportunity to partake and to get questions answered. Look, there's not as many people there as there were, you know, sort of 10 years ago. And let's just say it's not as joyous occasion as when you say go to a Capitec AGM where everyone sings and dances and, you know. But yeah.
Chris, what about the Boxer listing today? Did you have an interest?
Yes. No, very much so. I got cut back in my application, but I went quite big like everyone did. I haven't seen an official number, but I believe it was about 6 times oversubscribed. I heard of some guys getting 20% of their allocation and then, you know, through certain brokers and elsewhere, you know, it was 6%. But yes, I think it's a great growth company and the market starved of that growth companies. And you know, whenever there have been these type of growth companies, whether it's OUTsurance or We Buy Cars, they've tended to do very well in the growth-constrained South African market.
So just for those who haven't followed Boxer that closely, what was the price that you had to pay ahead of the listing, and what did it list at?
I think 54 Rand was the price you had to pay. That was the top of their range. And yeah, I think it's now trading at 63 rand. It's 63.96.
So call it 64. So that's a
yeah,
but that's a pretty cool return.
Yeah, for a couple of days, you know, your money wasn't even tied up. You didn't even have to put your money down. So
18% in front. Are you buying Pick and Pay as a way into Boxer, given that they're still holding 60%?
Look, I mean, I think as Sean said, you know, there's a lot that needs to happen at Pick and Pay. And I want an extreme discount on Pick and Pay to be tempted to make that trade, you know, to buy Pick and Pay rather than Boxer. You know, as I think you've had Sean on your show a couple of times, he's made clear a lot of money needs to go into Pick and Pay stores, just, you know, and they're being cash constrained. There's a lot of catch up to do. So I haven't done the numbers as to whether Pick and Pay is a buy yet. At this stage, just intuitively, I'd prefer to go with Boxer.
He did say that there was a discount of about 10 billion rand. An imputed discount in Pick and Pay, which is sizable, but not as large as the discount that you're seeing in Remgro. So I wonder if he's listening to Johan Rupert's way of tackling that discount, in other words, incentivizing management to think more like owners than managers. If Sean Summers adopted that at Pick and Pay, if we might see also a positive result.
Well, one of the amazing things is I just glanced at the Boxer listing document, and they were boasting about the fact that they've got state-of-the-art alignment procedures for the CEO. He has to hold two times his guaranteed pay in shares, which is a joke. You know, I'm going to forward them what Jamie Dimon has to hold. And we'd all feel a lot more comfortable with that. Yeah, it's a lesson that needs to be learned in South Africa. It's one I don't mind preaching. And it's amazing. Often, you know, companies thank you profusely for coming and pushing this message, because they're so tied up in King Code this and King Code that, and, you know, skin in the game and alignment and performance is key.
And Johan Rupert, from what he said at the Remgro AGM today, agrees with you.
Yeah, he does. You know, I mean, as he said himself, you know, if the directors all own a lot of shares, they'll watch the management and make sure they get performance, you know, and of course he pointed out something like Capitec, where, you know, you've been the most incredible share, and the CEO earns 103 times his salary in shares. That's a hangover from the founder days, which is true, but this minimum shareholding tool, which I think gain increasing traction locally, is a way to, you know, try and make sure you may not have founders anymore, but you still have owner managers. So it's quite neat.
Was there anything else at the Remgro AGM that Johan Rupert said or was asked, which is worth reporting back to the BizNews tribe?
Alec, I'm trying to think. I think that's the gist of it.
No one revved him up and said, why has Remgro been performing so poorly?
No, in some ways, you know, he did upfront that, and as I said, you know, said that they now found themselves in a position where, you know, there's a big weighting in these capital intensive regulated industries. So I think, you know, but as I say, that is an unfortunate reality, but, you know, there can be quite big upside if they manage to get those returns up, get those cash flows up. And it does seem they're working quite hard on this. Even something like RCL Foods, which has been a dog of note, you know, they did a strategic review there. They spun out Rainbow, unlocked a bit of value. There's a bit of a better tone there. And I know they're looking hard at Mediclinic, you know, which is operates in three different geographies. So let's wait and see. As I say, I'd rather rave about a boxer than rave about the upside in a Remgro. But it would be wrong to say, you know, forget about Remgro at these levels.
Chris Logan is the founder of Opportune, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.